I remember a while back, you know, I hope maybe some of you will remember, I did a Thanksgiving sermon on the first Thanksgiving and what it was like for the settlers that had come across, and that for a long time they were given, I think, 5 grains of corn to eat per day. And that's that hard, crunchy cow corn, you know, it's not exactly what we would call, and that's all they had. That was all they had.
My brother-in-law,
it is it's kind of like, what are you going to complain about? I go, just keep my mouth shut, Lord, because in the middle of our lives and the abundance of our lives, and even if all that is taken away, I just become more mindful of just the fact that God was faithful to those early settlers, and that they understood the mercy of God even as they ate 5 kernels of corn. And you have to understand that when you ate that corn, that was also your seed corn. So you're eating your next year's crop, okay? And so you put that in context, you have a sensitivity toward what that really means. Well, tonight I want to talk about the fact that Jesus ate too. Sometimes we don't always think of Jesus as being a true man. He had to get up, he had to wash, he had to comb his hair, I guess, and whatever else he did. But there are 3 meals that just the Lord just kind of set notice, because I was doing some other sermon searching, and I was in the concordance, and I started coming across these thanksgivings. And I found it fascinating that the times that Jesus says thank you is each time at a different kind of meal. And so I wanted us to learn the kind of example that he gives to us in these meals. So the first one, if you have your Bibles handy, they're all going to be in the book of Luke. So you can get your cell phone tuned to that if you're turning on that. It's Luke 9, Luke 22, and Luke 24. And if you need a Bible, the girls will run you one. So raise your hand. They'll be glad to bring you one. The first one is in Luke 9, 16 and 17. The context is the loaves and the fishes. Luke 9. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. I'm going to read all 3 and then I'll go back over them. The second one is Luke 22, so you can either stick a pen or a finger in it. Luke 22, and it's from 17 to 20. This meal, it says specifically, he gives thanks. After taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And then the last one is Luke 24. It's post-resurrection. He's meeting with these men on the highway, on the road. And he says this. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? The 3 meals, the 3 breads, the 3 thank yous. What I thought was obviously fascinating was the consistency of Jesus to say thank you. It's one of those interesting parts of the Trinity where he gives thanks to the Heavenly Father where he expresses that statement of thanks. The first one is a little bit different situation. The first one is a teaching example. The disciples, he says, we need to feed these people. And the disciples look at him and say, Jesus, what do you mean, feed these people? He said, they're hungry and we need to feed them. They have a long way to go for something to eat. And they said, well, all we have is a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he says, good, that will be enough. And what they're learning is that there is this step of faith outside the parameters of what you see. They're being challenged. They're being stretched by the presence of Christ. And he's looking at them and he's saying, you're going to have a teaching moment. You're going to watch right now. You're going to learn how you step into a situation that seems to have no seeming answer or outcome that you can figure out. And I want you to watch how I do this because I want you to do this. I want you to learn from it. I want you to exercise faith. And I want you to have this as a point of teaching, a reference point for you to go back to. Because later on he will say, remember the loaves and the fishes. And he'll say to them, you have to remember it because you have to step out in faith and there are going to be no loaves or you're going to be 5 loaves and 2 fishes and your problem is going to look like feeding 4,000 or 5,000 people. And there's going to be no logical reason you should put your trust in him. There's no logical reason that you think this little bit of what you're bringing, this little boy with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you're in your mind, there's no logical reason. And in the middle of it, Jesus teaches his disciples. And so, again, he points out to them and he says, looking up into heaven, he gave thanks. The word is Eucharistic, kind of a Greek word. And it's found that he not only gives thanks, but he blesses what he has got. And he sets this example, and he's saying, look at me right now. Listen and learn, because I want you to understand how we do this. I want you to understand how Christians live. I want you to recognize whether you're holding 5 grains of corn, and that's your meal ration for the day, and you don't know if you're going to make it through to the end of the winter, or whether you're holding 5 loaves and 2 fish, trying to figure out how you're going to feed these thousands of people. And you just step into that, and God in Christ goes, and he looked into heaven, and he gave thanks, and he said, I thank you, God, because of this moment. And then the miracle, he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. All the people ate, and here's the point. They were satiated. They were filled. I go, how in the world can that take place other than obviously the miracle in the presence of God? But I've learned something about being filled. There's being filled like this, the miracle. And there's being filled on 5 grains of corn when you're filled with the presence of God, or you're filled with the presence of your family, or you're filled with the joy of the Lord, or you're filled because that satiation, whatever you want to call that, is more than just simply our belly experiencing that satisfaction. And so Jesus here is looking at these people, what are you guys learning? And then he says, now gather up the leftovers. Because the whole thing is a lesson. Everything from beginning to end. All right, you feed them. You understand? You have to feel this. Because if you don't feel it, you don't understand the emotions of the disciples. They looked at each other. They thought, you must be crazy. Then he said, well, what do you have? And they said, the 5 and the 2. That'll be enough. They look at him again. How can it be enough? And he blesses it. And he gives thanks for it. And he begins to distribute it. Then he says, now collect it back. And they collect it back. And they got the 12 baskets. He said, what did you learn? This is not about food. This is not about your belly. It's not about what you're going to eat tomorrow. It's not whether you're eating 5 grains of corn or a whole plate full of corn tomorrow, or no mashed potatoes or a ton of mashed potatoes. It's about the lesson. And the lesson is, what do you learn? And the disciples had a terrible time figuring it out. They thought, oh good, we don't have to work anymore. Jesus can feed us. Look, he can make all this food out of nothing. And he goes, oh my goodness. And he said, you know, eventually he has to scold them because we always keep learning the wrong lesson. We keep hearing that and we go, well, what's the lesson? Well, the lesson is to exercise thanksgiving even in the face of unbelievable odds. The lesson is to exercise thanksgiving even if by everything you're participating in, you have total inadequacy. Why? Because it's in your inadequacy that you start to understand my hope is only in Christ. My hope is only in God. And so he's going, are you learning this lesson? Then he goes on with the second lesson, the second meal, like I told you, that he broke bread and gave thanks. This one you're very familiar with in the context. It's Luke 22 again, if you want to read it there. And it's obviously the meal with the Lord. And it starts in verse 17. And a little bit before there, actually. And he says these things. I'm going to start at verse 14 if you have your Bibles. I didn't read it to you before. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. This is a teaching lesson. You guys have to understand the lesson to be learned. Reclined at the table, and he looks at them and he says, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Remember, they don't get it. He told them straight up. He looked them in the eye. The Son of Man must give his life. He used a reference to the fact that Judas was about to betray him right in the meal. All the different things are all around them, and yet they're not understanding. All right? Watch what he does. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said this, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Now this is Passover. And the third cup is normally the cup of redemption, the cup that we normally think of as our communion cup. This is the first cup, but he's giving thanks for it already. Then he took the bread and he gave thanks again, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And that's when he goes into, but the hand of the one who's going to betray me is right here with me at the table. Now I go, understand the lesson. The lesson is Jesus is thanking, he is praising God, he is lifting up, he's saying, watch me, I want to show you something. If you're sitting at the table with a person who is about to betray you, if you're in the middle of this unbelievable situation, he said, I will show you what I will demonstrate. I will thank and I will bless the meal. I have looked forward to sharing this meal with you. And you too, Judas, and you too, Peter, and you too, my disciples who are going to run away from me before the morning comes. You go, how can he do that? How can he have that kind of commitment to people? How can he have that kind of commitment to disciples? How can he have that kind of commitment to betrayers and to deniers and to those that just run scared? And I go, that's the only kind of people he gets to work with. Do any of us want to stand up and suggest that if we were in that same situation, we would not be tempted by some of the same things? Do you think that you and I are so brave that if someone came to you tonight and said, deny Christ or I'll shoot you, that you would stand your ground and say, well, I would certainly not deny Christ? Do you understand? Peter was in fear of his life. This is not an unemotional moment for Peter. This is Judas getting caught in the trap that he bought himself into a little bit at a time. When does greed finally consume a human being? When does selfishness finally consume you? Does it start when you won 2 or 5? Does it happen in the middle of your freshman year in high school? Is it something you discover along the way and then suddenly you become this kind of Judas character, willing to sell out your family, willing to sell out yourself? Whatever it is, you have to understand. And here is Jesus in the midst of these real live people, these real live fears, and he's blessing the meal. He's thanking the Father. He's praising God. He goes, I long to eat with you. You got to understand, God goes, I love eating with you. Now, sometimes you and I can say, yeah, you're lucky. You get to eat with me, God. And we get not kind of arrogant, but we're comfortable with that. And then sometimes we realize that we're in the middle of situations. We're in the middle of opportunities. And you go, you pick your worst sin. What's it been? Sleeping with somebody you shouldn't have been sleeping with? Thinking an immoral thought? If you remember back a week, a month, or a few years ago, or a long time, maybe you got to remember a few things, and you go, here's Jesus. He walks up to me and he says, can I eat with you, Bruce? I long to share this meal with you. And I will thank my God, my Father, before I do it. And I will love you like I love Peter. And I'll speak right to your heart. And so here in the middle of this moment, the disciples have this moment to look back on. It's another example of what it means for Christ to be committed to sinners. You understand? My Savior is teaching me, if I learn from the meal, how he feels about eating with a sinner like me. What is he going to do? Jesus, you got to stop sitting with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the wretched people of the world. And Jesus turns to the Pharisees and even the disciples and he says, why, do you think you're any better? Do you really think you're any better? Are your sins any cleaner? Is your wretch any cleaner? And I begin to go, no, Lord, it's not. Then he says, I will sit with them and I will sit with you. And I will give thanks for the opportunity to be with them. And I'll give thanks for the opportunity to be with you. And he goes, would you remember that, please? Have you ever seen that movie, A Man Called Norman? If you haven't, it's a great movie. It's put out by Focus on the Family. And Norman lived across the street from this individual. And Norman stunk. Norman was ugly. Norman was everything you would not want in somebody near you. And this man is moved by the Spirit to finally talk to Norman and begin to take and bring Norman some things to wear and take him out for something to eat. And then he looks at his wife, we got to bring Norman home. And they bring Norman to the house and they bathe him and they clean him up, and you go, the whole story is about the love of God for people like you and me. Only the man had to learn the lesson, and for him, he learned it through Norman. And he finally understood. God whispered to him and said, you all stink. You're all ugly. And I love eating with you. And I can't wait to sit by you. And I can't wait to share a meal with you. It's when you get honest and you look in the mirror and you say, what do you bring? What do you bring to Jesus? And you get honest and you go, I got nothing, Lord. And he smiles, I love you. And I go, that's the lesson. It's the miracle of the communion. It's the miracle of his presence. Everything else is taking place. But here in this miracle, the disciples have to remember that as they look on. The last one, Luke 24. Road to Emmaus. I thought this was fascinating. It's a beautiful story. The men he meets along the way, and he is kind of hooded or covered somehow, and it says that they didn't recognize him, and he just plays a little bit ignorant, I guess you would say, and goes, well, what are you guys talking about? And they go, you mean you're walking and you haven't heard what happened in Jerusalem today and how they killed the Messiah and then how he's risen from the dead? And haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Where have you been? And he's just listening to them talk on and on. And then finally, Jesus begins to talk to them. He said, what are you so surprised about? Don't you know what Scripture says? And it says he began to open the Word of God and he began to speak to them. And he began to bring revelation to their spirit. And they still didn't recognize him. And then it says, at the last point, this point when he says, he was going to keep walking. And they said, please come eat with us. Please come eat with us. And they sit down at the table. And he takes the bread. Gave thanks. And broke it. And began to give it to them, then their eyes were opened. I go, what a neat, it's kind of like, oh! And there it is, his hand of Jesus handing you the bread, handing you the very thing, sitting with your ignorance, sitting with your inability to recognize him, sitting with all of that. And I go, they are just stunned. And it says he vanished from their sight, and they look at each other and says, didn't your heart burn within you when he was talking to us? And I begin to go, the miracles, the power, the examples of those Thanksgiving moments with Jesus are meant to take you and me and say, I want to be at your meal with you tomorrow. I want to be at your meal with you tomorrow, and I want you to bring all of your pain. I want you to bring your worst child and the guy across the street that stinks, and I want you to bring them all into the meal. I want to eat with them. They're my kind of people. I came to find sinners. I came to find those people who are lost. I came to find those people who need a doctor. I came to minister. And you begin to go, Jesus, just open my eyes. I want your word to burn within me. I don't want to be ignorant like the disciples going, there's no way anything's going to happen. We got too many people and we haven't got enough food. Jesus said, where's your faith? I don't want to become Peter or Judas or any of those guys, but I know in my life and yours, we have those moments. And I go, oh, don't make me go through that. But Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. And then the last one. How many times have I gone through a text and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just goes, has he ever done that to you? It's like you've heard it. Whether it's the Christmas story, whether it's something that you've heard many times before, for the first time, just because of your age, because of your experience, because of the pain you're going through, because of your circumstances, all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm Judas. Yes. I'm Peter. Yes. Jesus still loves me. Yes, keep going. And I need to repent. And Jesus will take me back, won't he? Yes. And you break. You weep like Peter wept. You go, Lord Jesus, how can you do this? And it's that moment where those opportunities of the Holy Spirit and Scripture just explode in front of your eyes. And so this Thanksgiving, I want you to take that bread, that plate, whatever you're going to put in your hand, and I want you to say, Jesus, this is unto you. I want you to speak it into your family. I want you to speak the gentleness of God over your children. I want you to remind them of the Lord's willingness to take them and hold them and value them, whether they've been good this year or bad this year. I want you to just speak it right over your sons and your daughters. I want you to speak it over your wife or your husband. And I want you to speak the kindness and the goodness of God and the gentleness of God and the breaking of bread. And you lift up your eyes to heaven. You say, Lord Jesus, as you have set the example for me, I have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring, but whether I have 2 fishes and 5 loaves, whether I've been a Judas or a Peter, I'm coming home, and my meal is with you, Jesus. I want to burn again like the man on the road to Emmaus with the truth of your word. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we need the burn of the presence of your Spirit to set our hearts on fire, to look at wives and husbands, children, sons, daughters, moms, and dads with new eyes. How gently and lovingly you taught your disciples. How tenderly you whispered recovery and strength and mercy into their lives before they even understood the sin they were about to commit. And how graciously you taught the blindness of 2 men to remind them of how powerful your love really is for them. This Thanksgiving is all about you. This Thanksgiving is about a God who won't quit. This Thanksgiving is about a Savior who has done it all. This Thanksgiving is a celebration that we live in hope because of who our Savior is, because of the lessons that we've been taught. And we want to walk in the lessons the disciples had to learn. And we want to learn from their mistakes, and we don't want to repeat them. But in the middle of them, Lord, we want to become a gracious gift to this culture, to our families, to our children, to our loved ones. We want to be filled with a fire, Lord, that brings the truth of your word so that other people's hearts can burn because we have brought you into their lives. And Lord Jesus, we have more than we can possibly ask or imagine, whether we're praying over 5 grains of corn or whether we're praying over a feast that's been set in front of us by the loving hands of mothers and fathers and other people. Lord, draw us into your presence today. Teach us the lessons we need to learn, and fill us with your gracious love. We pray this in your name.